Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Now, the subject I'm starting today, I want to encourage you that don't leave church. I'm putting this disclaimer before I even start preaching. All right? You will not leave church. Now, last year or the year before, one of our church members went to visit some people who had not been coming to church for a while. And she asked them and said, "Why are you not coming to church?" And they said, "It's pastor." The way that pastor preaches sometimes. You know, when I preach, I don't know you. I don't know your life, okay? Some of you, I don't even know where you live. Some of you, I don't even know your name, okay? When I'm preaching, the last thing in my mind is to preach about you. Do you understand? Sometimes when I know certain things about people, by the time I realize I've already said something, and I wish that I can go collect my words and bring them back. But you know, once you've spoken, you've spoken. And when I go home, I'll be talking to Mom Ruthie that, when I said this thing, I forgot that so-and-so is going through this. And it was not my intention whatsoever to preach about anybody. And as I'm preaching now, it is not my intention to isolate you, make you feel anything. I'm just here to increase your faith in the Lord. Am I talking to somebody? Put your hands together for Jesus one more time. So I'm starting a new subject that I am entitling The Principles of Tithing. The principles of what? Tithing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, this message that I'm preaching today is actually the message that inspired our theme for the year. Our year of breaking through. I personally believe that God wants to touch our financial lives. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God wants to bless you. And when this message, because, you know, in my years of pastoring, this is the first time I'm actually going to teach about tithes willingly and freely. Do you understand? I always try not to, because people always think that we want money. But we don't want money. We want you to be right with God. Hallelujah. Can you say louder amen so that you can encourage me to preach? Hallelujah. Now, today's message specifically, I want to entitle The Law of Process. The Law of Process. Now, there's this man of God that I listen to from time to time. And some years ago, I was listening to him and he kept on saying that every time he sees young people, his heart is broken. And every time he wishes that he can tell them that, do not despise the process. Do not despise the process. The dictionary meaning for the word process is a series of actions or steps taken in order to achieve a particular end. A series of actions or steps that are taken to achieve a particular end. Hallelujah. In other words, if I want to get to the pulpit, I can't just disappear and suddenly appear there. There are necessary steps that need to be taken for me to arrive at my destination. Now, when this man of God says, do not despise the process, he says, don't despise the steps that you have to take for you to arrive at the destination that God wants you to have. One of the reasons why many of us suffer is because we do not recognize that life is a series of processes that you have to fulfill. Are you understanding me so far? And God designed life and the world to work in that manner. Everything has process. Everything has process. Nothing just happens out of the blue. There are steps that have to be taken for you to achieve something in life. At one point in my life, I was a student. And a couple of years ago, I got a degree in quantity surveying. For me to get that degree, I didn't just sit home and wish. I wish. Oh, rakapapapalata tokotokos. I had to go to school. Wake up in the morning, sit in class. Be taught. After some time, they would test me on what they were teaching me. I had to write tests. I had to write assignments. I had to write exams. I had to study sometimes. I would study through the night. And after some time, I achieved a degree. So there was a process that I had to follow. When I met my wife and I fell in love with her, I had to go and tell her how I feel. Hey! After she agreed, after some time, I said, go tell your parents about what's happening here. I was shaking when I was saying, go tell your parents. She went and her father said, I want to meet this guy who has sent you to me. My shaking became worse. But I understood it's part of the process. So I went to meet him. And we spoke and he interviewed me. And afterwards, I said, let's continue the process. Then I sent my family. I said, please go there. Process. Someone say process. And they went there. And to cut the long story short, we got married. You follow certain processes in life and it achieves something. When you despise and avoid certain processes, you cannot achieve certain things in life. I don't care who you are. I don't care how nice you are. If you avoid the processes, there are certain things that you will not enjoy in life. It's the reality of life. No matter how sweet you are. You know, some people, when they talk about you, they say, "Yes, Shem, who's sweet in Kosia? I'm sweet. Who's sweet?" But as sweet as you are, if you don't do certain things, you will not enjoy life in a certain way. Come with me to the book of Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. I'm begging you, please don't leave church, okay? There's a lot of things that I want to share with you. And I'm telling you, my intention here is to build your faith. Okay? I've got no negative intentions. I've got no ulterior motives. Okay? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Are we there? The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Let's look at some other versions. I'm going to read the same scripture from the Amplified Bible. It says, do not be deceived and deluded and misled. Hey. Deceived, deluded, and misled. It says, God will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretentious or professions, or by his precepts being set aside. He inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God. For whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he will reap. Whatever you sow, that is what you will reap. Are you understanding? This means, if you sow nothing, if you sow zero, what are you going to get back? Absolutely zero. That's how life works. If you are not sowing, when the season of harvest comes, there is nothing you will collect. There's nothing. Absolutely nothing that will come to your life. If you don't understand that life is just sowing and reaping, sowing and reaping, sowing and reaping. Some years ago, a couple came to me, and the wife was complaining that the husband is cheating. Do you understand? So I called them and I sat with them to try and understand, you know, because the cheating comes from somewhere. There's always a source of why certain behaviors manifest. There's always a reason why people do things. And sometimes only when you hear only one side of the story, you tend to side with the other side. But then when you hear the other side, you say, hey, wait a minute. Actually, the one who brought the problem is the problem. So I call both of them and try to understand what's the problem. And I began to realize that there are certain behaviors that cause people to not trust the other person. Do you understand? Now, if you want to enjoy marriage, you have to sow trust. You have to sow it. You have to plant it in your marriage. If you don't plant it, then the other partner will always be suspicious of you. So what I did early in my marriage, I began to announce everything I'm doing. Even if I'm going to the toilet. Gisaya toilet, Gabu Anger. It looks like nothing. But I was sowing. If I had to go somewhere, I would announce, I'm going wherever. I'm going to do this. I'll be back in about 2 hours. There was absolutely no reason for me to do that. But I knew I'm sowing. So that the woman that I'm in a relationship with will know and understand that this guy, where he says he's going, he goes there and he comes back. Clean, simple. Hallelujah. Am I talking to somebody? So over time, I started noticing that what I was sowing, I was starting to reap. My wife would come to me and say, I'm going wherever. I'll be back around this time. I said, I sowed, I reaped. I sow, I reap. Some of you, the reason why you are not trusted is because the seeds that you are sowing are bad. You have a phone, no one can touch the phone. No one. Even if somebody, you know, had no thoughts, the way you're so overprotective over the phone, thoughts will begin to develop. Why doesn't he want me to touch the phone? Why doesn't she want me to touch the phone? You see, it's because of what you are sowing. Now the mind becomes curious. What is in there? I want to see. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, You have to understand that this is life simplified. What you put in is what you get out. All of us are where we are as a result of what we've been putting in. If you don't like where you are and what you are enjoying in life, you must ask yourself, what am I sowing? What am I putting into life? What am I doing that can justify a better situation for me? I hope you understand what I'm saying. This is not a shouting message, okay? I'm a talking pastor. I just talk to you. And the reason I'm talking is because I want you to hear what I'm saying. Sometimes when you're shouting too much, people get too excited and they stop hearing what they need to hear. Say, my lovely neighbor, what are you putting into your life? What are you sowing? That is simplified. In fact, I can sit down and we can go home now. It's so simple. That's why the Bible says, God is not mocked. In other words, you can't fool God. He has put certain processes in line. It doesn't matter how prayerful you are. It doesn't matter how much you know the word of God. It doesn't matter whether you are black, whether you are white. It doesn't matter whether you are tall or you are short. It doesn't matter whether you are big or you are thin. For as long as you don't do certain things, you cannot enjoy certain things. It's simple like that. Other people will blame God. Oh, God doesn't like us. God doesn't love us. But if you actually go into your life and study your life and you ask yourself, what have I been sowing? One day I met a gentleman and he was telling me that he wants to go and redo his matric. And so after talking to him, you know, after being a pastor for some time, you start learning how to get the source of problems. So I was just talking to him. And then he said, let me actually tell you what happened. He said, when I was at high school, at any given time, I had not less than 7 girlfriends at a time. Listen, every story I tell you is true. I don't make up anything. If I make it up, I will tell you this one I made up. He said to me, at any time, I would not have less than 7 girlfriends. And he said, I was famous at my high school. When the guys saw me, they said, wow, man, how do you do it? And the people were, their minds were blown. They said, how is it that they don't find out that, you know, this guy is dating all of us? Then he said to me, when I spend all my time ensuring that these girls don't find out that I'm dating all of them, my friends were busy studying and passing. And he said, now, when I look at my life, I don't have nothing. Some of them are engineers, some of them are this, some of them are that, some of them are this. It's only now that I'm realizing that, hey, if I want to have a better life, I need to start sowing some good seeds. Now, ladies and gentlemen, spiritual principles are the same. If you want to have a better financial life, you have to learn to sow. Recently, last year sometime, I had a man of God. He said he went and fasted for 3 days and 3 nights. And he said, the reason for my fast is that I wanted to find out from God, how can I prosper financially in life? And he was praying 3 days, 3 nights, and he was reading. And then he said, I suddenly had a voice. And the voice said to me, financial prosperity does not come by prayer. financial prosperity does not come by fasting. He said, I have a covenant. You sow, you reap. God says that's how financial prosperity comes to a life of a believer. You sow, you reap. So it stands to say that if we are not reaping, if we are not harvesting, it means that we have not been sowing. When we see our friends, our neighbors, our relatives, you know, starting to be developed in life, it is because they are starting to reap all the seeds that they've been sowing in the past. At the back, am I preaching? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Come with me to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. The book of Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. Genesis is the first book in the Bible, the very first one. Chapter 8 and verse 22. Are we there? Now, this is God speaking. He says, while the earth remaineth, while the earth remaineth. In other words, for as long as you live here on earth, there is seed time and harvest time. And cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. So basically the Bible says, for as long as you live here on earth, there is seed time and there is harvest time. That is the process. It will never change unless maybe you move to Mars or whatever. But for as long as you are on earth, there is seed time. Seed time is the season of sowing. If you sow over time, you receive a harvest. Are you understanding me? Where do you live? Do you live in Mars? Or do you live on earth? For as long as you're on earth, whether you are young, whether you are old, whether you are whatever, there is seed time, there is harvest time. That's the process that God put in this life. It's so simple, I don't know how better I can say it. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 2. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 2. Are we there? I'm reading it specifically from the New Living Translation. It says, there is a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest. A time to what? To plant and a time to what? To harvest. Plain black and white scripture. There is a time to plant, there is a time to harvest. Other versions say there's a time to sow, and there's a time to reap. It is the process that God has set in place. And no human being can bypass it. That's how this works. You sow, you reap. You sow, you reap. You sow, you reap. So I can't remember what month it was when I was listening to that man of God. And I have heard him say this over and over before. And I asked myself, I remember that if God has to repeat something, it means that it's important. Why do I keep on hearing this man of God say the same thing? So I went to my wife. I said, sister, financial prosperity does not come by praying. It doesn't come by fasting. It comes by sowing and reaping. So I said to her, let's start sowing. Now, in our family, we've been paying tithes. I mean, even personally, I've been paying tithes when I was in university, many years ago. And when I met my wife, while she was also in university, she started paying her tithes. Am I correct? And we've been paying our tithes before we got married. When we got married, we just continued paying tithes as a family. Do you understand? So we've been paying tithes. So I said to her, look, if we want to reap, we have to sow. And I said to her, this time, I just want us to give freely with joy in our hearts. Just every month in our budget, a certain portion of our budget, we just bless people. We just bless people. We just bless people. So we started it. I can't remember what month it was. And around June, July, somewhere there, where she was working, her boss caught COVID-19. And they closed the company because where she was working, if the boss is sick, no one can work. And she was at home. The first week passed, not going back to work. First week, she was saying, I'm tired of, I'm going to rest a little bit. But after the week passed, and they're not calling her back, she started getting worried. Even. So eventually, she called the boss, what's going on? And the boss said, hey, I'm getting worse and worse. To cut the long story short, the man passed away. Now, him passing away would have meant that it would have been a disaster for our family, because it would have mean we lose income. But, I mean, we've been tithing, and we said, God, it's impossible for us not to have income. We've been tithing. And so, out of the blue, she started getting phone calls, come for interview. Phone calls, come for interview, phone calls. And I mean, she has been sending her CV like nobody's business. I'm sure she had sent to more than 100 companies. Nobody called up until we made the decision that we are going to start sowing. We're going to start sowing. Then suddenly people start calling, come for interview, come for interview, come for interview. She's here. If she'll tell you if I'm lying. Am I lying? Then one particular company said, come for interview. And she said, ish, it's not easy for me to come for interview. Then they said, it's fine. We will interview you from your house. So just imagine. So she took her phone and they were talking. They made a video call and she was being interviewed via video call. To cut the long story short, they said, we want you. And when she went there, now by this time it was around August. When she went there, we found out that the owner of the company is a pastor. And they started saying, no, we are going to make you this. And we were just watching this thing and say, how can this guy die and immediately a job, like within a week? When we were still enjoying this new job, another company calls and said, we want you. Then my wife said, no, I'm happy where I am. Then I said, sister, just go to listen. There's nothing wrong with listening. Can listening kill you? Just go to hear what the people have to say. So she reluctantly went there. She called me during the day and she said, oh, now I'm confused. I said, this is a good confusion. And now we could negotiate. Now, what's your offer? Because I already have your offer. Can you imagine sitting with white people there in a boardroom? So, okay, what is your offer? And she was negotiating only because we took the decision to start sowing. Your amens are not blessing me. To cut the long story short, she chose the second one. When that thing happened, the way it was like a movie to us. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Then we saw the power of sowing and reaping. Learn to sow. That is the process for financial prosperity in the kingdom of God. If you want to be blessed by God, this is how He operates. He doesn't change His rules for anybody. Let me show you one more scripture. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, from verse 1. So, when we encourage you to pay your tithes, when we encourage you to give offering, to be honest with you, it's more about you than anybody else. It is to give you the opportunity and the chance to sow, so that tomorrow you can reap. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 from verse 1. The Bible says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." What an interesting scripture. He's been using the analogy of planting, sowing. This time now he says, your bread, cast it upon many waters. In other words, what God expects you to give is what you eat from. What you eat from, take a little of it and cast it upon many waters. And he said, after many days, it will come back to you. Verse 2. Give a portion to seven, and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. All this means is that when you are sowing, you are investing. And you are investing because you don't know the tough times that are coming in life. Our family, we didn't know that the boss is going to die. It would have been a horrible time. But then God remembered our investment. And He allowed us to cash in at that particular moment. Verse 3 is what we're looking for. He says, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. Beautiful scripture. If a cloud is not full of rain, there's no rain that is going to come. It has to be heavy with rain first before it starts watering the earth. So some of us, our spiritual clouds of financial prosperity, they are not full. And that's why we are not experiencing any rain at all. As we are walking in life, we see other people, they are wet with the rains of financial prosperity. From heaven, not even from Satan, from heaven. And as you walk in your life, it's dry. and you pray, oh God, and normally your tongues are shup, 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 shup. But you see, when you see that it's dry, your tongues become like a lion, and God is not moved by your lion tongues. He's moved by the process. Have you followed the process? You are not following the process. I love you. I want to do something. But there's nothing I can do because you don't obey the processes. I heard another man of God preaching. And he said that somebody went for an interview. And as he was sitting there being interviewed, on his notes, he had written tithes. So I don't know, maybe he must have been to church and the pastor was preaching about tithes. So it just, you know, showed on the notes. So the boss who was interviewing him, he said, what is that? What is tithe? I mean, the boss didn't even know tithes. He was saying tithe. What is tithe? And then the guy being interviewed, he said, it's something that they were talking about a church. And then the boss said, oh, I'm not a religious person, so I don't believe in all these things. And then the guy being interviewed, he said, oh, I'm also not a Christian, but this thing works. He said, I also don't believe, but this one in particular, it works. Do you know that boss, from that day onwards, he decided that nobody comes to work for him who doesn't pay tithes. If unbelievers can see that it works, why are we making people who don't even believe in the things that we believe in enjoy the things that we should be enjoying? He said, no, I don't believe Jesus. But this tithe thing, it works. Someone say it works. It works. So the question is, are your clouds full? If your clouds are not full, no rain will come into your life. And one of the reasons why most Christians, let's continue. It's in the Bible, actually. Let me show you. Let's read verse 3 again. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Verse 4. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. And he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. In other words, the Bible says that there are people who, before they sow, they check, how's the situation? This month it's a bit tough. And the Bible says, those who look at the winds, looking at the situation and circumstances that they're experiencing at that season, it says such people will not sow. And obviously, if you don't sow, you will not reap. So, for this thing to work for you, you have to sow and keep sowing and keep sowing and keep sowing. Pastor, but why? Your clouds. You are filling them. You are filling them. You are filling them. So you keep sowing every month. Some months for you to sow, it will take all the faith that you have. But you keep sowing. Because you understand the principle. You understand that this is how it works. It's a process. If I try to bypass the process, I'm hurting myself. I'm the one who's being harmed. So you keep sowing, you keep sowing, you keep sowing, you keep sowing. And you will realize that the Bible is true. You will realize that God is faithful. You realize that even though you are not educated, but things are starting to open for you,
You realize that even if you are born in a poor family, things are starting to open up for you. You will just start seeing the hand of God, because now you are obeying the process. If you are obeying the process, now He can move in your life. That's how it works. So I want to encourage the children of God, learn to sow, so that when your season for harvest comes, you will have something to harvest. There are people who laugh at us when we are sowing, especially sowing in the house of God. I remember when I was leaving my job to be a full-time pastor, I had to fill in certain documents, and the HR person was asking me, how much were you earning? What was this? What was that? And for some reason, I had to tell her that, okay, this is my tithe. And she said, what? I said, tithe. And she said, you pay this money to the church every month? I said, yes. Her mind couldn't understand it. It was, what? I said, it's my tithe. It's in the Bible. Tithe. And what I've noticed as a pastor, been pastoring for a number of years now, is that, and this is, I mean, the statistics of the churches I've pastored. Those who tithe, are you with me? What I will notice is that, let's say when they started tithing, they were tithing, for example, 100 rand a month, right? Those who tithe faithfully, I will notice that over a period of years, the person who used to tithe 100, over some time I'm noticing now they are tithing 500. Over some time I'm noticing that now they are tithing 1,000. Over some time, it's like there's always an increase. And those who tithe like this, nothing changes. If I'm lying to you, may God strike me now as I'm talking. Let me die now in Jesus' name. And I watch and I said, wow, if only God's people knew and understood. The reason why they are struggling is because they are resisting the process that God has put in place. If they can just appreciate and comply and follow the process, things will begin to happen for them. Begin to happen for them. Hello? It's a simple message, but it's powerful. Some of us, you know, it's amazing how the Bible talks about seed time, harvest time. Rarely ever does the Bible say money. In fact, I'm yet to find a scripture. They always refer to seed harvest. Seed harvest. So, what many people don't understand is that when you have an apple, for example, the apple has seeds. So, some of us, we eat the apple to the point where we eat even the seeds. And then the only thing that's left is that little stick at the top. Then that one we throw away. Not understanding that the seed has a purpose. If you want to keep enjoying apples, collect the seeds and plant them. But some of us, the little income that we get, I don't care how little. God doesn't care about the size of your income. God is only interested in whether you obey the process. Are you understanding? But some of us, as little as our income is, sometimes I'll be talking to Mom Ruti and I'll be walking and I'll be seeing people and I know that I earn more than them financially. I know. But the shoe they are wearing, Every time I scratch my head, I even go back to my budget and say, how come I can't afford that shoe? And the person who I know I earn more than them is wearing a shoe that is like 3,000, 2,000, even 1,000 rand. I just can't understand. Until I understood that, no, people are eating the seed instead of sowing it. They were wearing their seeds on their shoes, walking with their seeds. Yes. And you know, because the shoe is expensive, your walk must show. So that our attention can go to the shoe. Even the belt, you know, a suit, you mustn't put the suit jacket. But because your belt is expensive, you walk like this so that we can see the belt. You tuck in the suit so that we can see the belt. So you'll find a child of God has an account with Edgar's, Foschini, Markham's, where? Sports Scene, Mr. Price. To the point that when you're receiving your salary, instead of being happy that who have been paid, you are stressed because now Markham's come to reap their harvest. Foschini comes to reap their harvest. Because they are reaping. You are not reaping anything. They're just pulling. Just pulling. Just pulling. Just pulling. You don't like my message, right? I love to be honest to people. What they do with it is up to them. So please understand this reality and truth. In our family, we do a budget. And the first item in the budget is tithes. It's the first item. And people, they tithe, you know, because, you know, you've got net income, gross income, all this. The only thing we understand is the gross. We tithe on the gross. If you earn 10 rand, we tithe on the 10 rand. We don't tithe what comes to your account, which is 9 rand, 8 rand. We tithe on the 10 rand. And since we've been tithers, by the grace of God, there's not one time where we had to beg for bread. Not one time. I've even left my job. I left my job to be a pastor full time. When I left my job, I was like, it's going to be tough. Because at the time, even the money I was earning, like my wife was not earning the same money I was earning. And it was going to be tough. But we jumped into it. And to our surprise and shock, God has blessed us. And I know that He will continue to bless us. And He will continue to bless us because we understand the process. I see God blessing your family also in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, because you are going to start complying to the process that He has put in order. Am I talking to somebody? This simple message, if it enters your heart, I know after some years, you'll be so blessed that, you know, you yourself will be surprised that, is this me? And you'll be telling people that God took me from nowhere and He has blessed me. If you understand. What book are you on? You're on Ecclesiastes. Which chapter are you on? 11. Let's read verse 1. It says, cast your bread upon many waters. Right? It's the first principle. The second principle, it says, after many days, it will come back to you. Is that in your Bible? Now, For as much as sowing is important, you have to understand the importance of time. The process of time is as important as the process of sowing. Now, many Christians give up in this process because they don't understand the time factor. There is nothing on this planet that is like you take a seed, you put it in the ground, you count to 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, and then suddenly it's a big tree. It's witchcraft if that was happening in your life. Umoloi. When you plant, it takes time. You have to allow your seed to grow, to germinate. And as it's growing there, you have to water it, right? So you are watering it with your faith. You are watering it with your prayers. You are watering it with your fasting. And over time, that little seed suddenly becomes a tree that is forever giving. Forever giving. Forever giving. So, if you are a sower, right? Be patient. And keep sowing. Patiently keep sowing. Patiently keep sowing. If you allow time, you will come to the point where you start seeing the harvest coming into your life. You'll start experiencing the rain coming into your life. If you sow patiently. But if you are not patient, after you paid tithes for 2 months, after you paid tithes for 3 months, you say, Pastor, you said that if I sow, I will reap. No, calm down. Be patient. Be patient. Some of us have been sowing for years. Some of us have been sowing for decades, sowing, sowing. Till today, we are still sowing. We are still sowing. I come from Soshanguven right now. That my child, where's my daughter? Grace, please tell her to come here. Come, quickly, run. Look at the size. How old are you?
4 years old.
I have no reason to be going anywhere. No reason whatsoever. Those who understand what I'm talking about. Here's my one. 4 year old. But I come from there because I understand the process of sowing and reaping. We've just sowed somebody there, and I know after many years we will see the fruits of what we have sown. Thank you. Put your hands together for him. Go sit. Some of you parents, you must sow into your children. Sometimes when I'm moving around, my time is finished. When I'm moving around now, Mapias, I'll see children even younger than my daughter like that, walking in the street. And I'm trying to look for an adult. I can't see an adult. A short little thing like that, just walking. And I'll be thinking to myself, my God. My God. Someone say, my God, my God, my God. What is this? Hallelujah. Yeah. Am I preaching to somebody? So I want to encourage you, become someone who sows. Amen. If you forget anything that I've told you today, what you have to remember is if you sow, you'll receive a harvest. It's guaranteed. It will never fail. Guaranteed. Remember that he who observes the winds does not sow. So don't look at the situation in your life then decide that, okay, this month, yeah, but even God can understand. He told us in Galatians chapter 6, he doesn't understand. All he understands is the process. You comply to the process, then it will work for you. Say, neighbor, don't observe the wind. And finally, if you don't sow, no harvest. 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 And then time, be patient. Be patient. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the powerful Word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-591-2858. God bless you.